Once like a bird in prison I dwell, no freedom from my sorrow I felt. But Jesus came and listened to me, and glory to God, He set me free. He set me free, yes, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me, and I'm glory bound my Jesus to see. For glory to God, He set me free. Oh, He set me free, yes, He set me free. And He broke the bonds of prison for me, and I'm glory bound my Jesus to see. For glory to God, He set me free. And now I am climbing higher each day. Darkness of night has drifted away, and my feet are planted on higher ground. And glory to God, I'm homeward bound. For He set me free, yes, He set me free. And He broke the bonds of prison for me, and I'm glory bound my Jesus to see. For glory to God, He set me free. Goodbye to sin and things that confound, and not of this world shall turn me around. And daily I'm working and I'm praying too, and glory to God,
I'm going through.
Yes. For He set me free, yes, He set me free. And He broke the bonds.
Well, what a good song. I hope you love that song as good as I do. He set me free. Do you remember when He set you free? Do you remember that glory, that victory, that joy of being set free by the grace and power of the Lord? What a joy. What a day. What a day when I was saved. I remember that day almost as good as if it was yet. Well, really as good as it was if it was yesterday. 66 years and well, we'll be about 8-9 months. But I love serving Jesus Christ. God bless you. I hope you know Him. Now today, we've got a breathtaking broadcast. I am really excited about this broadcast. We're going to talk about a strange God. Now, you say that's not anything to be excited. Well, it's not. But the revelation of it that can open the eyes of literally millions of people to get back to the true God of the Bible, that's the miracle. And that's the miracle I'm looking for. That's the miracle I want you to have, because when you get that miracle, it will open your heart. It will open your life, and you will have a different view, a better view, an exciting view. Well, let's talk today about this strange God. We're going to go to the book of Daniel. It was Daniel, the prophet in the Old Testament, that called the God of the charismatic movement and the God of the Antichrist movement, the God of the date Bible, the God of the church world in to a great degree, especially the charismatic world and now much of the Pentecostal world. It's a strange God. And the Bible identifies that strange God so that you are foolish to fall into the trap. Now, after we talk about this strange God, and we talk about the truth of what the doctrines of the charismatic world represent, I remember when all they could talk about was Jesus being born again, the born again Jesus. Well, that was a picture of the strange God that I don't remember anybody identifying it with Daniel's prophecy. But I am identifying it with Daniel's prophecy because the Holy Spirit got a hold of my heart early last week in the altar early one morning and really spoke to my heart. And I ran to Daniel and I said, wow, What a truth, what a revelation. Here we have this strange God. Now, we'll tell you about the Dake's Bible, because the Dake's Bible introduced this strange God into the Pentecostal world, and the Charismatics then picked up on that strange doctrine and made it universal, taught it all over the globe, and many thousands, millions of people confused by that. I will not forget the people who argued with me about Jesus having to be born again. How foolish, how ridiculous. The divine Son of God from everlasting to everlasting, Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, which is, which was, and which is to come. The water of life, the bread of life, the resurrection and life. Oh, no, friend. He didn't need to be born again. He was eternal. He was eternal from everlasting to everlasting. Any other idea, it gives you a strange God. Exactly what Daniel said. Now, let me read it to you. You got to hear this. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers. Notice it's a new God that he's introducing, and not the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women. So there's a homosexual element here, a sodomy element. Nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and a God whom his fathers knew not. Strange God, a new God, a God his fathers knew not, shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus shall he do in the most strange hole with, listen now, a strange God. This is Daniel. This is the Holy Spirit talking to us these multiplied years down the road from Daniel's day. Thus will he do in the most stronghold with a strange God whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory. And he shall cause them to rule over man, or many, and shall divide the land for gain. Now, here's a strange God that Daniel said, and he connects it now, absolutely, the 11th chapter of Daniel with the end time prophecy, the time when the 7 years of the great tribulation will occur, the time when the great abomination of desolation that Jesus talked about in Matthew 24 will appear. The time of the end, the time when the gospel shall become, when the church world shall come to its conclusion, and God shall turn again to the Jewish people at the end of the 7 years. Now, friend, I'm here to tell you, that strange God is out there big time, and I don't know why I've never called him a strange God. I repent that I didn't see it a long time ago, but the Holy Spirit has to reveal his great truths to us. Now, you say, Brother Chambers, if you say it's a strange God, how do you tie it to being a strange God? Well, that's where we go to the Dake's Bible, which became the Bible of much of the charismatic world. And it was part of the Pentecostal world way back. Now, I'm a Pentecostal. But how in the world they ever got involved in this Bible, I do not know. But the very first chapter in the New Testament is where this writer, this man, Finis Dake, is where he introduces this strange Christ. And it goes on, not just the Christ, but he does the same for the Father. Let me read to you what Finis Dake says about Jesus Christ. Now, here's his writing. I'm going to read it all. Greek, Christos, anointed, used in the New Testament 577 times, like the name Jesus. It has no reference to deity. Listen, he is saying that the name Jesus has no reference to deity, but to the humanity of the Son of God, who became the Christ. Listen now, who became the Christ, or the anointed one, 30 years after he was born of Mary. Now, Finis Dake is saying that he became the anointed one, the Christ, 30 years after he was born of Mary. See, now, that's where the Kenneth Copelands and the Kenneth Hagins and TBN and all of those at crowd got the idea of a born-again Jesus. He wasn't the divine Son of God when he was born of Mary. He had to become the divine Son of God. And to do so, he had to be born again. Now, they have different interpretations of how this happened and when this happened, but all those interpretations are wrong because he was Jesus, the Son of God, the divine Savior, divine blood, conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, and even God said that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now, let me go back to this reading. He said, anointed one, he became the anointed one of the Christ at 30 years after he was born of Mary. God made him both Lord and Christ. Both Lord and Christ, the Hebrew Messiah. Now, again, then you got the Dakes Anointed Reference Bible and all the details where it's located, which page it's on. I've got it right here in front of me. There's no ifs and ands. It was copied for this article from his Bible. And here it is right at the beginning of the New Testament. I mean, the very first column in the New Testament, the very first words that Finis Dake wrote was about this Jesus that was not the divine Christ until he was 30 years of age. Now, that's where the idea of the strange God originated. The strange Christ. The strange Christ. The strange God. How did they come up with such a thing? And how did he make it for so many years in the ministry among Pentecostal people and somebody didn't find him? Nobody taught me this. I was told to get a Dake's Bible by one of the leaders of our denomination, and I got a Dake's Bible, and I started reading, and here it is where I read it, and I highlighted it when I read it because I knew I had just read heresy. I knew I was just a young preacher. I mean, I wasn't some smart dude, graduated from the highest university in the denomination. I just was a Bible-believing, Bible-loving man that believes what the Bible said, and I don't believe nobody has a right to add anything to it. And to say that Jesus was not the Christ until he was 30 years of age is absolutely heresy. Now, I've got a lot of doctrines, Bible truths that I can read to you that show you beyond all question and all doubt. I love St. John chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the who? The Word, WWORD. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And what? The Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and not anything was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That's St. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, that word is the capital WORD. I don't know that that's Jesus. We'll then go down to verse 14 of St. John 1 and read what it says. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And the Word, get your Bible, read it now. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, I'm just simply bringing you absolute proof, beyond all question, that this God of Finis Dake was a strange God. Him moving in and taking over the charismatic world and the Copelands and the Hagins and the TBNers and all that crowd of deceivers took him and made him their God. And they just ran around saying Jesus had to be born again. I was listening one day and the TBN host, the lady, you know, I won't even call her name. And the lady was saying that Jesus had to go to hell and be burned like a cracker. That was her words. Jesus had to go to hell and be burned like a cracker. And I thought, what is wrong with this idiot woman? Where in the world did she come from? Where did she come from? We're talking about the wife of the owner and leader of the TBN enterprise. Now, friend, when you talk about things like this, our world don't understand. How in the world did this strange God make its way in and take such dominance of the church world? Well, you say, well, that was only about Jesus. How about the Father? Well, let me go a little further in the next Bible and show you what he had to say about God. I don't know whether you know this God or not. I had met this God, the one he's got, because he's a strange God. But I want you to learn a little bit about him. Well, I thought I had him marked here. I guess I do. And I'm telling you, it is overwhelming to me how these kind of things could have embraced and took such hold of God's church. I mean, it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart to know that these things could happen. Here we are. If you'll go to page, if you have a Dake's Bible, go to page 96 and 97. You'll find these words. It's talking about the Father. He's talking about God now. He has bodily presence and goes from place to place in a body like all other people. And he's talking about God. He has bodily presence and he goes from place to place in a body like all other persons. He has a voice and breath and countenance. He wears clothes. Has to put on his clothes. God has to put on his clothes. Did you hear me? He says God has to wear clothes. He eats. He even has to rest. He says he rests. He dwells in a mountain in a city located on a material planet called heaven. Sits on a throne, walks, rides, engages in other activities. What other activities? Does he play golf? What does he do? It don't say. Just said he engages in other activities. Now here's God, the infinite God of the Bible, the great infinite God, omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent, the great God who created the universe and made everything. This God has a body just like you. And he has to rest at night, so he's got to get up in the morning. He has to put his clothes on. He has to put his clothes on. He gets tired. He has to rest. Not my God. And this is his words about God. Now friend, I'm talking to you out of my heart. I've tried to get away from any exposure of the crazy doctrines that are out there today, but the Lord really has put this on my heart because we have a strange God that's taken over the church world. He has to have lights flashing down on his stage. He has to have smoke coming up around his servants. He's got to turn the lights out in the congregation and make it all a theatrical performance. I mean, the strange God has to have music that makes the whole body jerk and shake, jerk and jump and shake and act like a man with epilepsy. I mean, we are talking about a strange God. Are you getting the message? And if you don't get out of such churches, you will be so confused and so deceived. I mean, I've been a Christian going on 67 years, and I know. I mean, I'm now at the top of the end of what's out there, age-wise, I'm talking about. I'm not talking about my wisdom. I don't have enough. I'm desperate for more wisdom and more understanding. And I'm on my face every day, 2 to 3 hours, praying for wisdom for this generation, because this is a terrible hour for God's people. And I want you to get the message of the Bible and the truth. And Daniel said it would be a strange God. And here we have Finest Dake in this incredible Bible. I mean, sold by I don't know how many millions this Bible has probably sold. The Dake's Antedated Bible. Finest Dake's Antedated Reference Bible. He wrote a lot of it when he was in jail because of picking up a 16-year-old girl and carrying her across state lines and getting caught and getting found guilty. In fact, he admitted guilt and you know, just took his time and said he would take a vacation in jail. Well, my friend, when you deal with something like this, and then you see how it's taken over, how many remember when I'm telling you, I get all these names, and there's so many. I can't even say his name all of a sudden. Not Kenneth Copeland or Kenneth Hagin, but Benny Hinn down in Florida when he was still down there. He got up preaching one time. Everybody, I guess, heard this one. I mean, I hadn't found nobody who didn't if they was living at that time. And he preached about the Father having a body and a soul and a spirit. That's in the Dake's Bible. And he said, not only did God have a body and soul and spirit, but Jesus has a body and soul and spirit. And the Holy Ghost has a body, soul, and spirit. He said, if you really want to know the truth, there's nine of them. And boy, did that hit the fire frame. The nine gods. And when he had to correct himself and apologize, he said he got it from the Dake's Bible. How about that? He got it from the Dake's Bible. Well, he does. I mean, it's not exactly said like that, but that same attitude that God has a body and a soul and a spirit. God is an infinite being. He isn't made like man. Man was made in the similitude of God, but God wasn't made in the similitude of man. And when you go to making God into a man, you have really left the true God and gone to a strange God. Now, there's so much here I want to talk about. I want to take you in a minute, and we want to read a few scriptures that identify the divinity of Jesus Christ. Divine from the moment he was conceived in Mary's womb. It was a divine babe in Mary's womb. The eternal Son of God was dwelling within the womb of Mary. And when Mary arrived at Elizabeth's house, where she was pregnant with John the Baptist, 6 months pregnant in Elizabeth's womb, and only hours pregnant, Jesus, in Mary's womb. And when Mary entered the home of Elizabeth, the John the Baptist, by the Holy Ghost, leaped in Elizabeth's womb. And both Elizabeth and John the Baptist, the Bible says, were filled with the Holy Ghost. Filled with the Holy Ghost. At the presence of Jesus Christ, the divine Son of God, in Mary's womb. I mean, you've got, the Bible is so clear on these issues. I feel a little foolish trying to prove to you that Jesus is forever divine, from everlasting to everlasting, the first and the last, who was, who is, and who is to come. Hallelujah. Oh, I want to praise him. I'm preaching in the morning on the great Christ. I'm preaching in the morning on the mighty Christ. The mighty Christ. I am so excited about who Jesus is and the greatness of the Christ, the marvel of his person in this hour when there's a strange God, or strange gods in many cases. I'm here to preach to you the great God, Jehovah, and his great Son, Jesus Christ, and that great Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And what a beautiful thing this really is. Now, I do my best. I've got an article today that everybody has got to have, and it has these quotes from Finest Dake in the article, okay? The name of it is A Strange God, Dake's Bible. A Strange God, Dake's Bible. Now, I want you to understand that it's also Kenneth Copeland's Bible, and Kenneth Hagin's Bible, and Benny Hinn's Bible, and the TBN people's Bible, and all of these strange preachers who are preaching a born-again Jesus, and preaching these foul, I haven't found one doctrine that was taught mainly by the charismatic movement that isn't spelled out and identified and laid out clearly in the Dake's Bible. The Dake's Bible. In fact, I've said many times over the years, Dake's was a charismatic before there was any charismatics. He was the backbone of that whole movement. And I'm telling you, it's a strange God. And there's something so strange about this God of the Dake's Bible and the charismatic movement. You watch people who get caught up in it. Now, I don't mean there's a lot of people on the fringes, and they're just wonderful people. They're not bad people. Many of them have been born again. Many of them are genuine Christians that truly love the Lord God and truly love the Lord Christ and truly love the sweet Spirit. And so I'm not putting nobody down. I'm not here to put nobody down. I'm here to help you make sure you escape this strange God that is the Jesus that had to be born again, that is the Jesus that wasn't divine and wasn't the Christ until 30 years of age. That is absolute biblical insanity. Biblical insanity. And you watch anybody that gets caught up in it, I know them. I know many of them. And those that really get caught up, I mean, they go to the juggler with this stuff. They become so mystical and so out of whack and so confused. And it helping them, they hate my inside, because I will not sit and let this kind of thing be perpetrated on the lives and the hearts of good people. So turn to the Lord and turn to this Bible and turn to the truth of this Bible. It is pure as the sunshine. Pure, my dear brothers and sisters. God bless you. Now, let's open the phone lines. I've talked almost half of my time. 704-391-0588. I'll put that number up. I want you to see it. I want you to make sure you get it. 391-0588, 704-391-0588. We've got a toll-free number if you're outside of the area and you don't have a cell phone. If you got a cell phone, I guess everybody has unlimited, so you don't need to use the 800 number. Call us quickly, 704-391-0588. Now, what I want very much is some good questions. I mean, any question you want to ask, I'd love to try to help you. Stay on the subject, please. I mean, this is too important to get off in netherworld. Let's stay in the middle of where we're at. We're talking about the real Christ and the strange Christ, the real Father and the strange God, the real Spirit and the strange false anointed, a false spirit. I mean, everything that God represents, the devil is doing everything in his power to imitate. The devil is doing everything. And why did so many people get caught up with this strange God? And, you know, I really don't know, except that people don't live in their Bible quite as devoted as they ought to. They don't read and study the Scripture, and they don't get on their face and ask God to teach them and to show them. They go after things on their own. Now, let me take a call here. You're welcome to call 704-391-0588, 1-800-338-7884. Call me quickly. You're on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, sir. I want to thank you so much for being supportive of the Bible in the way that you have. My daughter gave her heart to the Lord in 1996, right before her daddy died. And when I went to get a Bible, she reached for the NIV, and I said, no, we're getting the Old King James. And the Holy Spirit quickened me, the Old King James.
No, boy.
And I couldn't understand that until a few years later. And I had a young couple move in beside me that were on their way to the mission fields. And they were here for 1 year in South Carolina to learn the Mongolian language. Then they were going to be shipped over to Africa. And they were having marital problems. And it was over the girl trying to obey a verse of scripture in the Bible, their NIV, that was incorrect. And they were about to get a divorce. And
they were going to the mission field.
The mission, they were on their way to Africa.
Yeah.
And they were waiting for their papers to come across the mission board, and they were here temporarily to learn the Mongolian language till the end of the year.
And you helped them get a real Bible.
Well, they said that the Old King James was not right, something about the Dead Sea Scrolls and all this stuff, and every time they had had three opportunities to go to the mission fields, and every time their papers would come across, something would happen. They had two children, and their children would have to have open heart surgery. One died. The first one died. The second one had open heart surgery when it was two, then again when it was 6 weeks old. And the third one would have asthma attacks. And so their papers were fixing to come across the mission board, and they're about to get a divorce all over her, trying to obey a verse of scripture in the Bible, at the NIV, that was not correct. The Old King James was correct, and she was trying to obey something that was putting such a burden on her that they were fixing to divorce. And the doctor told her that their last baby that had already had two heart surgeries was going to have to go back in and have another heart surgery because the scar tissue was thickening. And she came to me confiding in me. I was 40 years older than her, and I didn't know what the problem was. She got telling me about her life, their life, And I said, honey, go get your Bible. What Bible are you reading? And then when I saw that it was in error and she was trying to do something that was incorrect and he was trying to get her to do it, I said, honey, this is the truth, and I read it to her out of the old King James. And she said, oh, you know the old King James, something about the Dead Sea Scrolls, and they didn't read it. And when my daughter gave her heart to the Lord, he finally listened. She didn't. And the college graduates had been to seminary, and he knew something was wrong. He just didn't know what it was. And he listened to me. I think it was because of my age. Or he was just desperate and didn't want to lose his wife. He knew something was wrong, but he didn't know what it was. And so I said, listen, I'm giving you a King James. Please, let that be your main guide. And if you want to go to other interpretations of the Bible, bounce it off of the old King James. And you don't want to get lost out there in la-la land. And try to live under something that you think is the truth, but you don't have the power to live under. It just won't work out for you. So they left. Their year was up, and I don't know if they actually went to the mission field or not, but their year was up. And they told me bye, and they appreciated the help that I'd given them. They were not divorced when they left, thank God, and they were still Christians. And my daughter gave her heart to the Lord right after her father passed away. And we went to the Bible bookstore to get her a Bible. She was all excited about her new birth. She'd been rowdy for 8 years, and she reached for the NIV because it was so popular, and the Holy Spirit quickened me. And later on, when I had that experience with the missionaries, I understood the quickening of the Holy Spirit not to get anything other than the old King James.
Do you know, I actually believe that?
In the Hebrew.
I believe it with all my heart. I believe these other Bibles will leave you so confused.
I didn't want her to get lost in doctrine that she couldn't then have the power to live under.
I will have to bring it to an end now with you so I can move on. Kind of finish right quickly, will you?
Pardon me.
Are the couple doing good now?
As far as I know, they are still together, and I don't know if they actually went to the mission field or not.
So you don't even know that yet? If you ever hear that, call and tell me. I'm so grateful you called, and I'm grateful that you know a good Bible. And I wish we could get everybody out there, get back in that King James. The King James is the only, listen, the King James Bible is the only perfect book in the world. There's not another book on the face of God's earth that is perfect but the King James Bible. Absolutely perfect.
You're right, Pastor. You're very right.
Thank you.
The world is coming unraveled.
Let me get another call. I'm grateful you called. God bless you. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, sir.
You'll have to cut your radio down because I'm getting two voices. Go ahead now.
Sorry about that.
You got to cut your radio off, okay? Are you going to cut your radio off quickly?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, sorry about that. I was just listening to the program, and I was wondering what you were talking about when you said that there's people preaching that Jesus wasn't saved until he's 30. What were you talking about with that? I wasn't understanding.
When I was talking about Jesus being born again, is that what you're talking about, dear friend?
Yes, sir. What did you mean by that? I wasn't.
I'm telling you the false Jesus, the false Christ, not the true Christ, the strange Christ, is the Christ that Benny Hinn and Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth Copeland, and they came out of this Dake's Bible that I'm trying to show people to get rid of, get it out of their home, get it out of their life, because it is full of false. And I show where Dake said that Jesus was not the Son of God, not the Christ. He was Son of Man, but even was of God and from God, but was not the divine Son of God until he was 30 years of age. And I showed people how wrong that was. And then I talked about the charismatic world trying to teach people that Jesus had to be born again. I was showing the error. Do you understand?
Yes, sir. I was noticing in the program talking about different translations in the Bible.
Well, that was this other lady who called. I didn't bring up the translations. She brought that up. I don't mix subjects like that with the one I'm on, but I let other people ask questions as they desire, and I showed her, and I've just made the statement, the King James Bible is the only perfect book in the world. And any other language in the world that translates from the proper Greek text and proper Hebrew text is also a pure Bible. So it's not just the King James, it's any Bible that's based on the Textus Receptus Greek and the Masoretic Hebrew, any Bible based fully and totally on those two manuscript groups is a pure Bible, a pure book. And that's what I was trying to tell everybody.
Right, there is a lot of Christians using some other translations. I think it would be beneficial, you know, for Christians to not attack one another that use different translations, but
I'm not attacking anybody. I'm telling you they're wrong, and it will change your life when you get in a Bible that's perfect in truth. Okay?
Well, I've read the King James, New King James, NIV, ESV, and, you know, as long as Christ...
Well, I would suggest you just read the King James, and thank you so much for calling me, dear lady. God bless you. Give us a call, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. Now, let's stay on the subject of the strange God. The strange God and the strange Bible, antinote... You see, what's the right word to use? All of a sudden, I couldn't say it. The antotated. How do I pronounce that? What's wrong with me today? Annotated Bible. Oh boy, yeah, it's more of a commentary than is a Bible. The text in this Bible is a King James text, but the commentary is where the problem is, not the Bible. This is, I'm talking about now, that Finis Dake's Bible is a commentary. The text is actually King James in that Bible, and so the text is not wrong in that Bible. It is all the references and all the opinions of Finis Dake that's dead wrong and laid the basis for the charismatic movement. Now, any other questions, I'd love to have you call. I will do my best to answer them with all my heart. But while you are calling, I just quoted for you St. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. If you didn't hear that, let me do that again. In the beginning was the Word. That's a capital W, meaning Jesus Christ. In the beginning, now, was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, that's in the beginning. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And the darkness comprehended it not. And then in same chapter, verse 14, it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So the Word, the eternal Word was made flesh, became a baby, born of Mary, and dwelt among us. This is the Christmas season. If ever we ought to honor Jesus Christ, born of Mary, by the Holy Ghost, the only begotten Son of God, divine from the moment of conception, divine from the moment of conception, right on through His birth, right on until He died on the cross and gave His body a sacrifice, gave His blood a sacrifice for our sins. What a Savior. What a Savior. Now, let me give you this scripture. I love it. This is in the book of St. John, chapter 8 and verse 58. You may want to turn to that. St. John, chapter 8, and let's go to verse 58. Verse 58, I think I marked it here. If not, I can find it real quick. John 8, verse 58, and you may want to read it with me. Go to it quickly, and you will be blessed. And these are the words of Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. John 8, and verse, make sure I get the right one, verse 58, and I'll read it to you. Verse 58, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. What a simple statement, but what a marvelous statement. Jesus is talking. Jesus is speaking in this text. And Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Now, you know the I am in the Bible is a name for God. When Moses asked God what his name was, he said, you tell Pharaoh, I am that I am. I am that I am. And when Jesus said before Abraham was, I am, that was one of the most dynamic statements he ever made that proves beyond any moment of question that he was eternally the Son of God. Well, we don't doubt that. How could anybody doubt that? But they did. They actually taught that Jesus had to be born again, had to go to hell and be born again in hell and come up out of there born again. That's this Jesus that Dake tells us was not the Christ until he was 30 years of age and became the Christ when he was baptized of John at the River of Jordan. And then right on down to death, had to go into hell and had to be born again. So that when God made him the Christ at 30, he still wasn't complete. He had to go to hell and be born again. Now, that's a strange Jesus. That's not the Bible Jesus. Please, nobody misunderstand me. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. That's the strange Jesus. I'm warning you that the church world is being inundated with a strange Jesus and a strange God. A strange heavenly father who has to wear clothes and has to put on his breeches every morning and go for a walk and has to rest at night because he's tired. I guess I would be tired too with trying to help this church world with the mess that's going on. Well, he doesn't need to be. He doesn't have to rest because he isn't tired. He's eternal. He's infinite. He is omnipotent. He is omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's everything the Bible said he is. I hope you understand it. If I've made anybody confused, please don't let me end this program that I don't help you get over that confusion. So you grab your phone, 704-391-0588. Now, everybody out there, every one of you ought to have this article, A Strange God, the Dake's Bible. Every one of you ought to have this article. It is available for you to get free of charge, no money. Grab your phone and call my secretary, and they will grab your name and get your address. If you're not on our address, I'm telling you, this is very, very important. You must know about the strange God, and you must understand that the true and living God is the one and only God, and there is no other. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, a heavenly Trinity, three distinct persons, absolutely united in the expression of one single God, but three persons. I said three, not three manifestations, but three beings, three persons. They think perfectly in harmony, but they also are individual in their actions and in their devotion to us. I'm telling you, you need to know about the God that's the true and living God, the Bible God. That's why I love the King James Version. It is such a beautiful picture of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And you see it over and over. I learned to read with this Bible because when I got saved, I couldn't read. I was a high school dropout. I was totally helpless. Now, I want you to have a copy. That means every one of you out there needs to grab your phone and call quickly. The secretary will absolutely help you. We'll send it to you free of charge. I'd like to get 1,000 out this week for the Christmas season so that people all during Christmas could study this Bible and study the true and living God and know the God of the Holy Bible, the God of the Bible. The strange God is everywhere today. I remind you that God answers prayer. He is a God that you can depend upon. He's a mighty God, and you own the line. May I help you, please?
All right, Brother Joe.
Yes.
This is it.
I'm sorry. Go ahead and say that again. I'm trying to hear you, and say it clearly. Okay.
I just wanted to go along with this. A lot of people can't sleep at night in their beds. They've got these old Bibles in their houses. If they do a house cleaning and get some of this stuff out of their house and burn it, they could sleep at night.
You know, I don't...
God said, if you worship me, you worship me in spirit and in truth.
And when Jesus Christ was put into the womb of Mary, the Ark of the Covenant was ripped open. And when he said, "It is finished," that changed the Ark of the Covenant to a brand new. But before this world was even formed, Jesus Christ, the way was made. The Lamb was slain, Brother Joe.
The Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world, the Bible says. He's a great God, and I love him. Do you love God?
Oh, I love him. I'm going to tell you.
Do you serve him with all your heart? I believe you do. You sound to me like you're committed.
Brother Joe, the first time I ever met you was down at South Park at an old movie theater. Down there, we were giving out tracts.
You're kidding.
An old show they were showing. And from then, I tell you, this old King James got my grandma and grandpa into heaven, and it'll take us there, Brother Joe.
Yep, you're right. Thank you for calling.
God bless you, Brother.
God bless you. Thank you for calling me Brother Joe. I like that. I'm just a simple old preacher.
Thank you.
God bless you. I'm just a simple old preacher. But I tell you one thing. I love that Bible. I love that Bible. I hit that phone wrong, I think. Hit the wrong line. Hey, I got 16 minutes, and I want to answer questions for you. But I want to make sure you don't forget the scripture I just read in John 8 and 58. I love that. Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Before Abraham was, I am. Now, let me take you in the book of Matthew. While I've got a little time here and people are calling, I want to go to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 16. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 16. I want to just show you some things that this Bible is so powerful in saying that proves beyond anybody's shadow who this Christ was. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Who is called Christ? You mean they already called him Christ? This is the Bible. Who is called, born of Mary, who is called Christ. And Phineas Dake said, no, he won't the Christ until he was 30 years of age. Well, the angel called him Christ when he was born. Isn't that beautiful? So all the generations from Abraham to David of 14, I skipped down. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they were united in marriage, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, was not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take to thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Is of the Holy Ghost. Now, how would you deny that this one born of her of the Holy Ghost, and she's a virgin, and she's a virgin, never known a man, so there's no possibility of getting pregnant with a man, but the Holy Ghost had come upon her, and she got pregnant by the Holy Ghost. And you doubt that's the Son of God? Come on now. "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now, when all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." Now, listen. They shall call his name what? Emmanuel, which is being interpreted God with us. So Jesus is by the angel said to be called Emmanuel. This is now at the moments of conception. This is before Jesus was even born. This was when Jesus was just being conceived by the Holy Ghost in Mary's womb. And the angel said, "And they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. Now, friend, when you read things like that, and you read what the angel said to Mary when she got all concerned, and he said, "That holy thing which shall be born of thee," that holy thing shall be called the Son of God. Oh, friend, there are so many scriptures. I want you to hear my sermon in the morning, The Mighty Christ. The Mighty Christ. I plan for us to pray for the sick tomorrow because I think it's time that there's so many wonderful people out there got healed. And I'm here to tell you, when you know who Jesus is and you know everything that he represents and you understand the glory of his person, I got to make sure you understand he's fully ready to heal you. There's not a Christian out there listening to me, a genuine born-again person that Jesus isn't willing and ready to heal. If you don't get healed, you've got to understand it's because you do not meet the Bible criteria. I'm going to preach tomorrow on three things that Christians are doing, three things allowed in people's lives, three things going on in the church world, why people are not being healed. Why? Why the church? How long has it been since you saw a biblical miracle of healing? Now you hear some little bitty stuff that don't mean a lot. Nobody can prove. I'm talking about miracles that leave no doubt. They eliminate all apprehension. They settle it. And that's the kind of miracle Jesus is wanting to make real. I mean, I'm hearing it everywhere I go. How can we have miracles in our church again? Why can't we have miracles in our church? I'm going to tell you in the morning exactly why most churches can't have miracles and why you can't have a miracle. And I'm going to tell you, I've been trusting God with my body so many years. I went to a doctor to check my ears and to clean them out. And he wanted to do tests, and he said, "You probably need surgery." I said, "Sir, I don't want none of that. I'm not into it for that. I trust God with my body, folks, and I'm telling you, he's my healer. I'm 82, be 83 in a few days now, December, January the 19th. My birthday, January the 19th. And you know, I suspect if Jesus tarried, I'll be on this radio program 10 more years. I really do, if Jesus tarries. Maybe he changes that. That's up to him. I say to him every day, "I'm ready to go, Lord, if you're ready to get me. I'm ready to go, Lord, if you're ready to take me." At 83, I mean, not many people are doing very much at 83. But God's helping me, and I am grateful. I give him all the praise. I don't get a bit of glory. I'm promising you, but I'm telling you, you can be healed. And I'm giving myself to pray and seek God for divine miracles all over my audience. From one end of the church world, from one end of Facebook world, from one end of the internet world, I want to see miracles. And I'm believing they're going to happen. I believe he's going to heal you. If you need a miracle, you come in the morning, we'll believe God with you for your miracle. But I'm going to preach in the morning, the mighty Christ. I can't wait. The mighty. Do you understand how great Jesus Christ, the Son of God, really is? Remember the woman who had the issue of blood, and she'd spent all she had on physicians and was nothing bettered, but only grew worse. And she made up her mind, "I'm going to go to where Jesus is. And when I touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to be made whole. When I touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to be made whole." And I don't know what a crowd she had to go through. I don't know how many people she had to try her best to move around. I guarantee you she was trying to be kind to everybody. She may have had to get down on her knees a time or two. I don't know what she had to go through with to get to Jesus. And Jesus was even amazed when she got to him. And she touched him, the hem of his garment. And it didn't touch his body, just the hem of his garment. And Jesus didn't see her, but he felt her. He felt her. And he said, "Somebody touched me." And his disciples said, "Lord, the crowd around you, they're all pressing you. What do you mean, who touched me?" He said, "But I perceive that virtue went out of me." So I want to tell you, the virtue is in him, and by that virtue, you can be healed. Why don't you touch the hem of his garment right now? Why don't you reach out and lay hands on him with all the love of your heart and the devotion of your life? And if you don't get healed today, you go to praying and fasting. You go to seeking God every day and tell God, "I'm going to wait on you and cry out to you until you give me the faith to rest my need and be wonderfully healed." And I promise you, I've had numbers of times through my life when I would pray for somebody and nothing would happen. I remember one little lady, she was the pianist, and I went to see her. She had the flu bug so bad, she was one sick little lady. And I went to see and prayed for her, nothing happened. I went back, nothing happened. The last time I went with her sick, and she was still worse. I felt terrible. Here I am, the pastor, and I can't get this girl healed. And I went home and started fasting. And I spent 3 days with God. 3 days with God. And the third day, the Holy Ghost said to me, "You go pray, and I'll do the work." I got up off my knees, I guess. I don't remember exactly where I was at the moment. I got up and headed for the home where they lived. Went in, laid my hands on that little lady, and she was healed instantly and gloriously because I got me ready. And that's what I'm doing for you, and that's what I'm doing for the church world. That's what I'm doing for the radio audience and all the friends of this ministry. I want you to experience the miracles of God. And I'm believing for it. See, this false Christ has left people in a terrible condition. This false Christ, this crazy doctrine. Jesus, that wasn't the saint, wasn't the Christ until he was 30. How horrible for somebody to say. For somebody to say, like the TBN host, that Jesus had to go to hell and be born again, burn like a cracker. That's blasphemy. That's blasphemy. That's a strange God. That's the strange God of Daniel's text. I'm telling you, the true God is absolutely omnipotent. I want you to take that word, omnipotent, make it part of your language, will you? Omnipotent. What does that mean? All powerful. That means he is all powerful. There is no limitation of his power. There is no limitation of his ability. He wants to heal you. First, he wants to save you. He wants to save you. He wants to get you to live above your own will. See, the reason, one of the reasons people don't get healed is because they're still living according to their own flesh. They still do like they please, live like they please, go where they please, dress like they please, act like they please. Everything is pleasing them. You'll never experience the great miracles of God until you live to please him. Until you live to please him. I'm not talking about some strange life. I'm just talking about a simple life of obedience, living by the Bible. And I do really believe that people with these strange Bibles are affecting their faith greatly. The NIV Bible is one of the worst. It's not a translation. They say that. They say it is a transliteration. What do you mean by transliteration? That means we don't translate the words, we translate the meaning. Well, how do they translate the meaning? By what they think it means. And when you translate the Bible by what you think it means, you've lost the divinity of the Bible, and you've got just a commentary. The NIV Bible is a commentary. It's not even a good commentary. But it's a commentary. It's not a Bible. The Bible is pure. Only perfect book in the world is the Holy Bible. And I say again, it doesn't matter the language it's written in. If it's from the proper source of the Textus Receptus and the Masoretic Hebrew, those are two ancient manuscript groups, not just single manuscripts, but manuscript groups. And it is proven that over 90% of all available manuscripts support and prove the King James Bible. And I've talked to one of the greatest scholars of the Dead Sea Scrolls, one of the greatest scholars. Do you know what he said to me? I said to him right here on this broadcast, "Randall Miller, tell me, does the Dead Sea Scrolls support the NIV Bible or some other translation?" He said, "Joe Chambers," see, he knew me well. He said, "Joe Chambers, I knew you was going to ask me that question." He says, "I have to admit, the Dead Sea Scrolls support the King James Bible." So you tell that critic who's been telling you it isn't King, it doesn't match the Dead Sea Scrolls. They've heard from the wrong dude. I'm here to tell you, Randa Price knows that stuff like the back of his hand. Probably one of the best scholars out there. The last I heard, he was one of the professors up at the Jerry Falwell University in Virginia. A great scholar. I love Randall Price. I have great confidence in him. A lot of good material by him, brother. But he's not King James, which is his only weakness. I'll tell him that in a hurry. But I promise you, he agreed with me that the Dead Sea Scrolls support the King James Bible. Well, I didn't mean to get on the phone about that today. Somebody else brought it up, so don't accuse me, okay? I'm going to put that blame on that lady they called, but I'm a King James person. And I don't fight with nobody over none of that. You get a hold of God. You get on your face. Get on your face, and you wait on God, and you let God rule your life, and he'll turn you upside down. Now, I love you. Christmas is coming. We're going to have a great Christmas here. Next three Sundays, I'll be preaching on the mighty Christ, the mighty sacrifice, and the triumphant Christ. And I hope you'll hear them. We by the way, have church on Christmas Day, the 25th, 10 o'clock in the morning. 10 o'clock on Christmas Day, the 25th of December. You hear that? Why don't you come be with us this year? I wish you'd come Sunday. Sunday school at 10, morning worship at 11. We have a big old meal out in the cafeteria every Sunday, and we take all of our visitors over with us, and you will be blessed by the food. Now, it's not as good as the preaching, I hope. I pray it won't be. I give it my best. I promise you that. I love the Bible. I love the Word. I love the Word. Hey, if you don't have this book now, showing the horror of the finished Dake's Bible, you need to get this. The horror is terrible. It's a strange God. It's demonic. It came from the devil. I'm telling you, finished Dake, his teaching came from the devil. You got to understand that. Don't you look at me mean. I'm telling you, that's where it came from, and that's where it came from. And I know people who've got involved in it, and they've lost their brain. You say, really? Well, I mean spiritually speaking. Just out of it. It's terrible what it does to people. You can have the true Bible. You can know the truth of the Holy Bible. And that's what I want you to know. Now, I got to go. Got a minute here and 10 seconds. I care about you. I'm reaching for you. I'm praying for you. Every morning, you'll see the lights if you come by this church. You'll see the lights about 5 or 5:30. Come on to the sanctuary. That's the cross behind at the stained glass window. Going down the road, you'll see the burning light. You know when you go by in the morning, you see the light on in the cross. You know that Brother Chambers and other members of our family is in here on their knees, and they're praying. And they're praying for you. A miracle in your life. For God to show you His glory. For God to reveal Himself to you. For God to be majestic in your life. For you to be healed. I'd love to pray for you in the morning. I'm expecting miracles in the morning. I want you to know that. I'm expecting miracles in the morning. I am absolutely expecting miracles. And I want you here to get one, okay? I'd love to pray for you tomorrow and see God give you a miracle. I love you. I love you. I promise you I love you. Listen.
And shame.
Listen.
But then the hand of Jesus
just touched me.
Ooh.
Keep listening.
And now I am no longer the same. Because He touched me. Oh.
Raise your hand if you've met it.
And since He cleansed and made me whole, praise You, Lord. Oh, I will never cease to praise Him. I'll shout. Oh, because He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And all the joy that floods my soul. Oh, something wonderful happened. And now I know.
me.
Oh,
I'm sitting here shouting with all I got. Hallelujah.
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 Before we have the message.